The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to my final hour of my career broadcasting in a democracy. Because, as the Democrats have told us, that what happens tonight ends democracy in America. It's been a good run. We've had almost 250 years. Way to go, democracy. But it all comes to an end tonight, if the election goes the way we are expecting. I'll have more on that in the moments to come. I will also tell you there was a very serious local story, a shooting at Ingram High School today. Seattle Police Chief Diaz and Bruce Harrell, a press conference just beginning. Let's take you there live.
Who was tragically shot has passed away. The student is deceased. The method by which we will give more details about that individual. There's a process there, so I won't go into details about that, but I needed you to know we are dealing with a death. Bear with me as I get through this, because as a Seattle Public Schools student, students can't learn or develop or grow to be the best versions of themselves when they have to fear for their life. Our schools have to be the highest safe havens for our youth, for our teachers, for our families. The tragedy impacts not just the family and the students and the faculty and administrators and everyone at Ingram High School, but threatens the essential trust, that social contract, if you will, that we have with all of our communities. As a parent of Seattle Public School students, and as a Seattle Public School student themselves, I don't even recall these kinds of situations when I was a kid. The times have changed. And you'll hear from Chief Diaz, who will be able to give some factual information that happened this morning. You'll hear from our superintendent, Dr. Jones, to give us a few words as the superintendent of the public schools. He may be able to stay right after, but he also may have to leave because there's some logistical matters he may have to attend to, so he's monitoring his communications. And then we'll hear from our Congresswoman, Carmela Jayapal, who, as always, is here in moments of need for families and in our community here and times of need, showing our leadership and our friendship. And I want to thank the Congresswoman for being here. So you hear from that order, and then of course we'll open up for Q&A. Let me close before I introduce the Chief by saying a few simple thoughts. I can't reiterate enough to everyone that listens that our primary responsibility is to keep people safe. This should be a unifying element in our city. It doesn't know a race or a demographic, an age. Just safety, our policies, our technology, our implementation, our culture has to be rooted in our desire to keep everyone safe. You know, since taking office, I've done more than 10 events at our Seattle Public Schools, whether it's talking to the kids or reading to the kids or attending an athletic event. And their joy is sort of what motivates me to be mayor, looking at their smiling faces. We know they're not smiling right now at Ingram. And so as we continue to investigate and examine this tragic situation, it will be rooted in that universal value that I led with, is our need to keep everyone safe. And with that, I'd like to introduce Chief Adrian Diaz to share a few remarks and a few some information about what happened today. Chief Diaz.
Live in North Seattle, Bruce Harrell has just announced an Ingram High School student was killed in a shooting. Here is Police Chief Diaz now.
It's not what we wanted to hear. When one young man or young person can pick up a gun and shoot another young person, there's a problem. And I see plenty of people in this room that have made dedicated their lives to try and make sure that they save lives. And they are saving lives. We all know that we can do more. When we experience a shooting like this at 9:55, when officers, you know, were responding out to shootings or shots fired inside a school, we arrived within 4 minutes. 4 minutes. And within 4 minutes, we had a contact team already going in the school and trying to provide CPR to the victim. Then with another minute later, fire department was called in as well. So within 10 minutes of the call, the initial call, the fire department was going in to treat. That's amazing. So I want to say such a huge thank you to all the firefighters and officers that, you know, went to respond to the scene to get, you know, handle this tragedy. That are going out and making contact teams, putting their life on the line to try and make sure that that school was safe. And like the mayor said, it's a problem when, you know, people go to school hoping that they're going to be safe so they can learn, and we have a shooting. An hour later, we were able to take the suspect into custody. Our harbor officers, because we had every officer on in our department responding to this scene, our harbor officers actually located the suspect and took him into custody with King County Sheriff's Department. And we actually recovered a firearm. We don't know if that firearm is the one that was the firearm that was used in the school, but we did recover a firearm. This year, we've recovered over 1,000 firearms. 1,000 firearms, and that is, you know, that is unheard of. We actually, even though we've been short-staffed, we were recovering more firearms this year than when we had full staffing. We have a gun problem. And we have to figure out ways that we can figure out how to solve this issue. There are a lot of rumors, there are a lot of things that are coming out in social media about, you know, potential second suspects and all this kind of stuff. Right now, we cannot confirm any information. All we can say is that we are making sure that we interview every witness that we can find, that we identify all the reasons why this could have occurred, and then figuring out ways that we can prevent this from happening again. Because we do not want to continue to be part of a school or part of a city that has a young person picking up a gun and using it to hurt or harm others. We have two families that have been impacted. Somebody that is going to jail and somebody that has lost their life. So we know we can do better than this. And we know we asked for the community's assistance. We know that we need to make sure that we can support everybody in our community, that we can have our kids thrive. But it starts today. So thank you. Thank you for being here. And I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
Thank you, Chief.
Before I introduce
let's do a little more Bruce Harrell here.
Opening remarks. You know, the superintendent was hired to do an extremely important job to get our kids educated. On the public safety side of the house, that is our responsibility as a city to work collaboratively with the superintendent. But at the end of the day, I don't think any superintendent in our country has said, and by the way, I'm going to run a public safety department to make sure our kids are safe. That would be too tall of an order for us to ask from any superintendent. The truth is, we continue to see a gun violence spike at unacceptable rates. Too many guns on our streets. Too many guns in the wrong hands. We all know, looking at best practices and what other cities are trying to do, that there's no singular solution for gun violence. It really demands a holistic approach, looking at many strategies. Our proposed budget right now, being deliberated on by the city council, recognizes, we think, this holistic approach, solutions to address gun violence and to better collect evidence. And as many of you know, our legislative agenda has, we've been pushing, has been to look at the state preemption law, RCW 941290, which prohibits a city from really legislating in this area. But we will continue to look at every feasible means to protect our children, to protect our teachers. I want to thank our, as the chief said, our first responders, our Seattle Fire Department, our Seattle Police Department. They were swift. They were committed. And I'm proud of the work that I saw. I also want to say that with a spirit of humility that I'm very grateful for the courage and compassion shown by the teachers and the staff at our Seattle Public School System.
They helped out immediately. They provided information. Many had to wipe tears away to do the work that was necessary to keep going to help protect their kids. So I want to recognize the bravery that we saw. When I talk about One Seattle, I talk about trying to dig in and find that extra ounce of energy to keep plowing through some of the toughest times. And indeed, this is one of the toughest things that any family will have to face. So having said that, I'd like to introduce Dr. Brent Jones, our superintendent of Seattle Public Schools.
All right. We will jump in on that after you've heard from both Mayor Bruce Harrell and Police Chief Diaz. That was shocking news right at the very beginning as we tossed this press conference, because we'd heard some news earlier today that Harborview wasn't expecting the victim, and that led many to believe that it wasn't level one most critical situation. So when they opened the press conference telling us that the kid who had been shot has died, that was shocking news. I don't want to get too political in a situation like this, but I do find it absolutely amazing as I hear the mayor and the police chief, and they talk nonstop about the gun violence problem. There is a pathological avoidance of talking about some of the underlying issues, because the gun is a tool, but it's the finger on the trigger that causes these deaths. And they never talk about the criminals. We don't know if this was gang-related. It very well could have been. But we don't know if this was about gang violence or if it was. We know it was about criminal violence. We know that with certainty. We know that as they focus on gun violence, they are taking the focus away from the individuals who are so twisted, so sick, that they can actually point a gun at somebody and pull the trigger and shoot and kill somebody. But they try to put it all on the method of killing instead of the person behind that trigger finger. And it is sick. You know, you heard Chief Diaz say there are too many guns on our streets. There are too many guns in the wrong hands. They have never, ever, ever proposed anything that would get guns out of the hands of criminals and protect the Second Amendment rights of the law-abiding. They never, because there is nothing that will do that. The criminals, you can ban guns, you can do everything you want with gun laws, but the criminals and the gang members and the drug traffickers and all of the people who are behind the tremendous violence, and again, I'm not saying this is gang-related, I'm not saying this is drug-related. What I'm saying is the vast majority of young people in Seattle are people of color, black and brown, young men, and it is about a drug turf war. Now, I'm not assigning this Ingram shooting to that, but that has to be acknowledged. And when they refuse to say that, when they're ready to just go to the weapon and not the person brandishing the weapon, it is a horrible lack of messaging by Bruce Harrell and Chief Diaz. Now, back to this being something that happened in the Seattle schools. Bruce Harrell's a graduate of Garfield High School. Our governor, Jay Inslee, went to Ingram High School where the shooting occurred. I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about this. Ingram was our rival. I went to Ballard High School. And when Jay Inslee and Bruce Harrell and me, when we were all going to Seattle Public Schools, the stuff didn't happen. This never, ever, ever happened. But we have seen such a steady degradation of society. And we have seen a gang problem that has taken root throughout our schools and throughout our city. We have a drug problem where the cartels have flooded our state, and that's behind so many of these shootings. We have a mental illness crisis, and Jay Inslee has failed to address that. And the sad reality is, Jay Inslee, he will talk about this because it was Ingram High School. his alma mater, and he'll talk about how empathetic he is. But Inslee never addresses the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other shootings that happen in Seattle every year as he has been governor. He refuses to talk about the crime issue. He'll talk about global warming. He'll talk about abortion. But will he talk about the drugs and the cartels? Will he talk about the gangs and the record murder rate that we are on? No, because that would reflect poorly on him. He will feign all kinds of empathy and sympathy because he can relate so much to this happening at Ingram High School, where he walked the halls as a young basketball star. But he refuses to talk about the crime problem that has gripped this state on an increasing level every year since he's been governor. You got Bruce Harrell. Bruce Harrell talked about the tragedy of this, and it is. But Bruce Harrell's the one, when he was on the city council, who said he wanted to decriminalize violence in Seattle. Well, this was violence. And in Councilman Harrell's utopian view, shouldn't be a crime. He wants to decriminalize violence. Well, he's gotten his way. He's gotten a city that is the most violent that it's been in decades. And he helped lay the groundwork for this with all of his nonsense about decriminalizing violence in Seattle. So we're going to hear a lot of words the rest of today and in the days to come from politicians. They're going to tell us how empathetic they are, how they've all walked the halls of public schools. They're going to tell us how horrible and evil guns are. And they're going to say almost nothing about the reason why we have so many lost souls in our society. So many people who have decided that this ultimate level of violence is how to solve any beef that they have at school. It's horribly tragic, this life in which our kids are being forced to grow up in. It's horribly tragic because we've let things go to such an abysmal level. So we'll stay on top of this throughout the afternoon, but that is the breaking news and the new information. A student shot. First calls came in at 9:55 a.m. at Ingram High School in Seattle's North End, and we now know that the student who was shot was killed, and the suspect is in custody. We'll keep posted on this throughout this afternoon and into our evening. It's a very important day for many reasons. It's Election Day. It's also a day of great heartbreak in Seattle as a high school kid has been killed. We'll keep you posted on all of this throughout the afternoon here on Cairo News Radio. Quick time out. We'll check the news for you here at the bottom of the hour, and then lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. We'll continue to follow the story. Student shot and killed at Ingram High School. We need to get more information on who the victim is, who the shooter is. We're working to get more info, but it's a very sad story. High school kid. And I do go back to my Seattle Public High School days and just how distant a thought something like this would have been. But then things started turning for desperate worse direction not long after that. There are a lot of reasons for that that I've talked about in the past that I'll talk about in the future, but we'll wait to get more information on this. Also, as you heard, Dave Ross and I are going to be co-hosting special election coverage from 7 to 9. I'm going to join John Curley and Brandy Cruz. They have special election coverage from 3 to 6, so I'm going to jump in with them from 6 to 7 o'clock. So we got a lot of stuff to do here in the hours ahead. But here's what I know, is that the country in which I was born, the country in which I have grown and raised my family and had a wonderful life, I know that this country tonight comes to an end.
Democracy is at stake in this election, Nevada.
He made it clear that democracy is at stake this November.
Democracy is at stake this November.
Democracy is at stake.
Our democracy is at stake.
But the future of our democracy is at stake.
We all know democracy is at stake.
This is the most important election coming up because democracy is at stake.
Nothing less than the future of democracy is at stake.
But they don't send out the same talking points to all the politicians and everybody on their side in the media. They just organically, coincidentally, it's all a big coinky-dink. They all come up with the same phrases. It's really weird. One of the big races locally is going to be for United States Senate. Patty Murray, 5 terms, 30 years. I find it interesting. Patty Murray has been talking about all the things that she's going to do if she's reelected. It makes me wonder, why haven't you done any of those things in the 30 years you've been in the Senate? I mean, she has been in the Senate when the Democrats had the majority and the White House, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden. But now she's going to do it? I don't know if I can believe that. You'd think she would have done it in year 28 or year 23 or year 17, year 9, year one. When she was just a mom in tennis shoes, why didn't she do any of these things in year one? But now she's going to do them in year 31. Her opponent is Tiffany Smiley, who made her final argument for the election a couple of hours ago here on the Dory Monson Show. And I didn't want to talk to her about all of the issues we are issued out from her and Patty Murray. But I wanted to find out more about Tiffany Smiley, the person, and just what it's like to go from obscurity to where you now have not only much of a state, but a lot of a nation rooting for you. The last day after all these months and years, what kind of emotions are you going through right now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good. You know, I just ended last night in Tacoma my 46 stop tour where I've been on the road on a bus for the last 15 days. And the enthusiasm, the momentum on the ground is huge. Hundreds and hundreds of people have come out to our events. I've been in big towns, small towns, all over Washington State. People are ready for change. And so I feel good. I am honored to represent Washington State. This is a beautiful state. I love this state so much, and we deserve so much better. So I'm very excited. I'm optimistic, and I'm thrilled for Washington State. And it's time to turn the page here.
And after those 46 stops on a bus, and I really agree that this is one of the most geographically diverse, most beautiful states in the country. So what does it mean when you see so much of the state and so many of the people from ground level? Tell me some stories from your bus tour of the people you met and the things that you saw and what you learned.
You know, Washington State is so beautiful and dynamic, first of all, and it's just incredible, you know, to be able to take our bus and go all over the place. You're right, from the ocean to the desert plain, all the way up into Bellingham. But there are so many stories to share, but I think the ones that stick out to me for sure was, you know, our first event in Maple Valley, packed wall to wall, hundreds of people. And a gentleman came up and he said, "I didn't know who I was voting for, so I came here." And he goes, "I know exactly who I'm voting for." You know, there's heartbreaking stories too, Dory, in every room. Someone came up to me to share a heartbreaking story about their family in the fentanyl crisis. One mother came up and said that she lost both of her sons this summer. One was murdered. He was homeless and was murdered, and there's still no answers. And the other one overdosed on drugs. And she's like, "Please fight. Like, please help us." So there's heartbreaking stories like that. And then there's really amazing stories where this young girl. I just saw her in the back of the room, hundreds of people, and she was waving, and I just waved at her to come up. Like, I could just feel her energy, and they said, come up here. You know, she was 10 years old, and she had written me this special note, just saying, like, I look up to you, and thank you for being a strong woman. Her name was Ellie Mae, and just her energy and her enthusiasm. She was like, thank you for fighting for us. So from every scope, from every walk of life, people have come to my events. Even some when I was over in Longview and Long Beach, some farmers came up and just said, you know, we've always voted Democrat. Senator Murray used to care about us out here, and now we haven't seen her. So we showed up for you because we know that you will show up and fight for us. So story after story, Washington State is we deserve so much better, Dory. We are such a beautiful, dynamic state. Senator Murray, 30 years, you know, and that's what I tell every crowd, 30 years and this is where we are. In every room, I've shared that we are more alike than we are different, and that we can truly accomplish incredible things when we come together, and certainly can deliver results, for positive results for Washington families.
So that was the final argument that Tiffany Smiley made on our show a couple of hours ago, as we are now, what, 5 hours and 18 minutes that you have still to get your ballots in. But we'll see if Washington is part of this expected red tsunami across the country. We'll see if Tiffany Smiley can pull off a gigantic upset. And we'll see if it's the end of democracy as we know it. So we'll take a quick time out here, then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a day. We're not done. No, we're not nearly done. I'm going to be back for hours this evening, too. But for now, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Nancy Pelosi speaking out against the attack on her husband, Paul. This struck me as odd. She said that she still hasn't talked to her husband about being attacked by an intruder and having a half hour, according to NBC News, a half hour in the home with him alone before the police arrived. And then Paul didn't go to the police rescuers, but went back to the intruder. None of this makes sense.
Has he been able to talk to you about what he was thinking when he woke up and found this person in the room?
We haven't quite had that conversation because any revisiting of it is really traumatizing. It was hard, and one of the hardest things all week was to go back into the house for him. In the entrance, which is, of course, where
the attack took place.
And, of course, upstairs in the bedroom where that person.
How was it for Nancy to find out?
I hear the doorbell ring and think, it's 5-something. I look up, I see it's 5. They must be the wrong apartment. No, it rings again, and then bang, 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 bang on the door. So I run to the door, and I'm very scared. I see this Capitol Police, and they said, we have to come in to talk to you. And I'm thinking, my children, my grandchildren. I never thought it would be Paul because, you know, I knew he wouldn't be out and about, shall we say. And so they came in at that time. We didn't even know where he was or what his condition was. We just knew there was an assault on him in our home.
But she does know the reason. She said she doesn't know much about it. She hasn't talked to him about it. But she says she knows the reason why this attack happened.
The assailant entered the home asking, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Those were the very same words used by the mob when they stormed the United States Capitol on January 6th.
That's right.
Do you draw that same line?
Absolutely. There's no question. It's the same thing. And copycat or whatever it happens to be, inflamed by the same misrepresentation. But the fact is, right now, it's time for healing.
But she knows that that's what he said. How does she know that? They haven't released any police body cam video. Paul Pelosi, it's his claim that that's what was said. It's all very odd still. We'll keep a close eye on this. The ladies on The View, they provided us today with a view moment of the day.
for the View Moment of the Day.
Do they want to lose their rights? They're
Sunny,
voting against their
point.
First
I'm
interest.
Trying to make you consider
so you are actually
no, I want you to
twisting
consider first,
what I said.
No, that is what you said. What you said is it's like
then
roaches
say,
right in this assembly.
Don't
I
say that I
but do you
called white women roaches.
People,
all right, because
we're
I did.
We're going to break. Can't take it.
This has been The View Moment of the Day.
I agree with both of them. Oh, then we found out, oh, man, Elon Musk, how's he going to survive this?
And I'm tired of now having had certain kinds of attitudes blocked, and now they're back on. Yeah. And I'm going to get out, and if it settles down and I feel more comfortable,
yeah,
maybe I'll come back. But as of tonight, I'm done with Twitter.
Wow. Whoopee. It's quitting Twitter. And then Ron DeSantis, I'm still not sure if he's going to run for president against Trump, but he's releasing some ads that sure make it sound that way.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a protector. So God made a fighter. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, kiss his family goodbye, travel thousands of miles for no other reason than to serve the people, to save their jobs, their livelihoods, their liberty, their happiness. So God made a fighter. God said, I need someone to be strong, advocate truth in the midst of hysteria, someone who challenges conventional wisdom, and isn't afraid to defend what he knows to be right and just. So God made a fighter. God said, I need somebody who will take the arrows, stand firm in the wake of unrelenting attacks, look a mother in the eyes and tell her that her child will be in school. She can keep her job, go to church, eat dinner with friends, and hold the hand of an aging parent taking their breath for the last time.
Yeah, it sounds like he's...
So God made a fighter.
Running for a higher office. Make that guy sound like Paul Harvey there with God made a fighter. All right, so it's going to be interesting who runs for president in 2 years, but the more interesting story at hand, who's going to control America tonight, the House, the Senate, and will this be the end of democracy? We're going to have a front row seat. I'll join John Curley and Brandy Cruz from 6 to 7. And then Dave Ross and I will have special election night coverage from 7 to 9 o'clock this evening here on Cairo News Radio. I will see you then. Hey, do.
But tonight I say we must move forward, not backward, upward, not forward, and always twirling, twirling, twirling towards freedom.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.